God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again for this passage. Bless us, minister to us, in Jesus' name, amen. It needed to be doubled up on. You may be seated. So what happens when you get old? All right. Now, notice the phrase in verse 26, whose voice then what? Shook the earth. It takes us back to the moment on Mount Sinai when God descended and spake to Moses and gave him the law that was to govern the children of Israel's lives. This incident is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 18, where we read this, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly." It goes on to say, "Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Now these words are a quote from Haggai chapter 2, verse 6, where it is written, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the seas and the dry land." Now, when God gave the law to Moses at Mount Sinai, the whole mount quaked. But in the future, the earth and the heavens will be shaken. Once and only once will God shake the heavens and the entire earth with its dry lands and seas. The solar system will go into giant convulsions when God's wrath is poured out in the end time, and it'll be overwhelming, it'll be final, and it'll be absolute. All things created will be shaken, they will all be removed, and only those things which cannot be shaken will remain. This shaking of the earth and heavens will take place at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ here on the earth. Now, during that thousand-year or golden age reign of Jesus Christ here on earth, war will be no more. The devil will be bound. The nature of wild beasts will be changed. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. The curse placed upon the world due to Adam's sin will be removed. The saints will rule and reign with Christ. It'll be a time of perfect peace and prosperity. Then at the end of that thousand years, the devil is let loose out of prison, deceives the nation, and leads a vast number of people into battle against the beloved city of Jerusalem. He and his hordes of infidels are consumed with fire coming down from God out of heaven. This judgment that is sure to come is going to follow Christ's coming kingdom here on earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12 describes this time of upheaval and great quaking. It states it as this way, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Now you talk about global warming. This is when it's truly going to happen. And this conflagration is going to destroy the earth and the atmospheric heavens around it and the universe as we know it. These things will be shaken up more than Elvis, who's all shook up. But I would like to focus on the eight words found in verse 27. And those eight words say this: those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So with that, I want to preach to you about some unshakable things that will not change in this confused world and will remain in ages to come. Amen. We live in a time when everything has been shaken to its very foundation. That which is good is now considered evil. People have become confused as to what gender they are. Their marriage has been redefined. Education has turned into indoctrination. Evil men are waxing worse and worse. People are living in fear, and the church has lost its way. It is no longer the pillar and ground of the truth, no longer the moral conscience of the nation, as it has lost its saltiness. The Bible being used, those Bibles that are being used today, are corrupt. And instead of having clarity, and instead of being the written voice of God, they contain the hiss of the serpent in the garden who told Eve, "Yea, hath God said." We now have women pastors, sodomites standing behind pulpits, unsound doctrine being heralded by heretics, apostates leading congregations that into denying the truth that God gave us His word. Men who fear to fulfill their calling by lifting up their voices and crying aloud like a trumpet against the sins of the people. Our government is filled with those who are secular, ungodly, have forgotten that they are to work for us and not their own self-interests. They pass laws they impose on us, the citizens, but they exempt themselves from them. Many are immoral, foul-mouthed, don't even show up to vote. And when I was growing up, they wouldn't have been voted in to pick up the piles left behind by dogs. Some may believe we are simply making progress. Mankind is becoming more enlightened. I say this world is simply ripening itself for the coming judgment of God. You may say, "Preacher, you sure are painting a rather bleak picture." And to that I say, yes, because when it comes to those things that are shaken, it'll happen just like God said it would. Yet these very conditions in our world present us a great opportunity to go forth with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those rather dark times require believers to be the light that we ought to be and reach as many as we can by snatching them from the fire before it is too late. We need to be busy about the Master's business, for the time is coming when our labor will be over. It'll be an absolute tragedy to stand before the Savior and give an account of our service for Him and to not have used our time and our talents in an honest way and in a way that would point others that are lost to the Lamb of God. So let's earn our crown of rejoicing while we can, be the ambassadors for Christ that we should be, and follow closely so we can become fishers of men. While this world is in a hot mess and its universe will be shaken, we believers need not worry what the future may hold, for there are some things that are unshakable and unwavering as they have always been and they always will be. So it's no time to be wobbly, for we ought to be unmoved in the faith as we keep our eyes on our blessed Redeemer, who is the rock in this weary land where we are but strangers and pilgrims. We have unshakable things that remain no matter what is going on in this world. Number one, the throne of Christ is unshakable. The throne of Christ is unshakable. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God." Now the Father's talking to who? Jesus. And he calls him what? God. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, like all God's people ought to. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." While the Bible speaks of kings and vast empires, such as Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of Babylon, are the pharaohs that ruled over Egypt, Cyrus over Persia, Artaxerxes and Ahasuerus and Alexander the Great. It speaks of the Caesars and King David and King Solomon and the no good 19 kings of the northern 10 tribes of Israel and those who ruled over the two southern tribes. All those kings and all those kingdoms are gone. Rulers and their reign over vast or small domains are found in history books. Their thrones are gone, and those kingdoms they ruled over no longer exist. Those who are in position of power today and who are in charge of what we would call world powers, they nor their countries will remain as such, for they are and will be shaken. For verse 11 and 12 of Hebrews chapter 1 goes on to say, they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they also wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not. Verse 8 not only speaks of Christ's sovereignty, but it mentions his deity as well. He sits enthroned over all, and his throne is forever and ever. Human dynasties, they do not last. But Christ's rule and reign will never end, as his throne will outlast the millennial. And because he is God, and because of his nature and character, the principles of righteousness will reign throughout his kingdom forever. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, we find this written. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. It was Jesus who founded the earth and fashioned the heavens. And verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 1, we see this. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. While the earth, the sun, and the stars will be shaken and destroyed by fire, Jesus will remain unchanged. And billions upon billions of years from now, Jesus will still be sitting upon his throne. It is the sun who bring about the changes to the earth upon which we dwell and the heavens above. I look forward to the time when sin will be no more and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the one upon the throne will make all things new. What a Savior, what a God, and what a King Jesus is. His kingdom is one of judgment, justice. He wields a scepter of righteousness. His throne will last throughout the ages. But here's a sad thing, and it is really sad to me, is that there are many believers who do not want Jesus to be their sovereign. And they don't want to live in a righteous manner as they should. You know, we as God's people are to be subject unto him. But you know what? So many of us do our own will. We want to be large and in charge of our lives. I'm here to tell you, let the sovereign Savior rule. Allow him to govern your life. Enthrone him as your king. And see if you don't enjoy a little bit of heaven, even here now on earth. Yes, the throne of Christ is unshakable. Number two, the words of Christ are unshakable. We read this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, that means cease to exist as we currently know it to be, but my word shall not, what? Pass away. Preacher, is Jesus just talking about the words he spoke that are printed in red in our Bibles? No. For the entire Bible is referred to as the word of Christ. We read this in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yes, it's all the word of Christ from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 22:21, from the word in all the way to the amen. There has never been a time when the word of God has been under attack as it is today. Yet there has never been a time when people have more reason to believe the Bible and to be in the word of God than they have right now. Think of all the fulfilled prophecies concerning Christ, concerning Israel, concerning the Gentile nations. Someone has said 75% of Bible prophecy has been fulfilled, and the other 25% has yet to be fulfilled. Now, 75% of it has been fulfilled to its minutest detail. I think the rest of the 25% is safe for us to believe. Think of its unity. This divine library was written over a period of 1,600 years by over 40 different men in 3 different languages, yet there's no contradictions to be found in it. No corrections that need to be made in it. And not a word of it needs to be canceled either. This book has power to lift men from sin and bring about the new birth. This book convicts, it converts, it cleanses, it reveals Jesus Christ, it rewards the doing of it, and it is likened unto great riches. It is good to live by, good for gleaning wisdom by, it's good to share, and it's good to die by. Think how indestructible it is. Down through the ages, men have attempted to destroy the Word of God. Voltaire in his lifetime said, "By the time I die, there will not be a Bible in the world." Well, guess what happened? There's a printing press that was brought to Voltaire's home after he died. And you know what they were printing? They were printing Bibles. It's indestructible. You know, those who try to destroy it, they find it a great act of futility. For like God himself, the word is forever settled in heaven. Notice these verses in Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Notice, it's also scientifically accurate. You know, I get a bit weary of those who take science over God's word. Not too long ago, somebody said, "You don't actually believe the creation story." Now, they claim to be a believer. I said, "I sure do." He says, "You mean to tell me that God created all this in 6 literal days?" I said, "Yep." I said, "That's what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible." He says, "Well, you know, I got a scientific mind." And I'm thinking, "No, you got the mind of a fool." And he says, "I believe it took millions and billions of years." I said, "Actually, how many?" He said, 10 billion. I said, 10 billion. I said, "Some say it took 30 billion. Some scientists say 50 billion. Some say it just took millions." I said, "So what scientists do you believe?" And you know, you realize that these people who believe this scientific nonsense, it takes more faith to believe that nonsense than it simply does to put your faith in God's holy word. Did God create the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days? Yes, he did. He said it. Not a word of this book will ever lead anyone astray. This book is the best science book ever written. If science says one thing and the Bible says something else, always stick with the Word of God and reject science so falsely called. when it comes to the unshakable word of Christ, century after century, it still stands. Empires will rise, empires will fall, yet it stands. Agnostic sneers at what it says. Atheistic fools rail against it. Still, it stands. Unbelief abandons it, yet it stands. Critics deny its inspiration, yet it stands. Infidels predicts its demise. Still, it stands. Modernists try to explain it away, yet it still stands, and it always will. So build your life upon it. Esteem it more than your necessary food. Engraft it into your very being. You know, the things of this world are unshakable. So are the things in the first and second heavens. But the throne of Christ is what? Unshakable. And the word of Christ is what? Unshakable. And it would do us well to know it. Number three, the salvation Christ offers sinful man is also unshakable. When one is convicted of their sin and places their faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, they receive eternal life. John 3:15 and 16 tells us this, that whosoever, that means anybody, everybody, that whosoever believeth in him, who's that? Jesus, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. In that same chapter, Jesus speaks in John 3:36. He says, the Father, in verse 35 and 36, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath, you know what that word hath means? Hath means you got it. Hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, we're told this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans 6, 23 says, the gift of God is eternal life. And how about what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then how about this? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. Now these folks are just a few verses about the unshakable salvation we are to have in Jesus Christ. Now, according to the unshakable word of Christ, there is no salvation purchased, offered, or received that is not finished and that does not last forever. Heaven for believers is more certain than the grave. Listen, if I were to be hung over the fires of hell on a rotten thread and I could be singing, you know, oh, how I love Jesus, I'd still not drop in there because I'm saved. I'm saved forever. Now, I know there are those who believe they can lose their salvation, and I guess they have their right to be wrong. Some have told me, you must be one of those preachers who believe once saved, always saved. And I always answer with this. I say, well, that's one way to put it, but I prefer the Bible, what the Bible has to say, and that is I have eternal life. And what do you think eternal means? Now, there have been times when I asked someone if they died or they're 100% certain they would go to heaven. And I've heard people say, no one can know that. I look at them and say, I do. Amen. And a few of them have told me, well, don't you think you're a little bit presumptuous? And I say, not at all. Is it wrong for me to presume that God will keep his word to me? Are not all his promises yea and amen in Christ? Is not salvation an eternal work? Do we not read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us? And how about what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9? And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. Now, the phrase them that obey him does not suggest we can lose our salvation through disobedience. It simply means to trust God, and it is a description of those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. The salvation we have in the Savior is eternal. It is everlasting, without end. And when one is saved, we will live as long as God does. Amen. A pastor in Portland, Oregon, years ago, went to a doctor who informed him he had incurable disease and he only had a few months to live. He went home, he walked into his garden, and he looked over the garden. And then he looked up to the majestic mountains, and he saw the Columbia River. He watched the sun go down in the west, and he said to himself, when the mountains have forever ceased to be exalted in towering strength above the cities of the earth, when the river has run its last mile, when seas have passed forever from the universe, when the sun has risen and set in all of its beauty and glory for the last time. Yes, when the moon and the stars have forever ceased to give their light, when the mighty trees of the forest have shed their last leaves and all nature has departed to its final rest, I shall live on. Yes, I shall live on. Amen. Folks, the clock has been ticking. The day will come when the earth and the heavens will be shaken. But there are some things which cannot be shaken, such as Christ's throne. So let's allow him to rule our lives, be subject unto him. His word is unshakable. So let's build our lives upon it. That's what a wise person does. His salvation is unshakable. So how about resting in his finished work on our behalf? As believers, it certainly is a blessing to be stable amidst so many things that are shaken. Let's all stand.